Please turn with me in your Bibles to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7, and reading verses 22 and 23. Romans chapter 7, verses 22 and 23. The words of the Apostle Paul. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. And our subject this evening is every believer's battle. Now, we have spoken much in recent weeks about how a Christian at conversion is somebody who has died to sin. When somebody is saved, they have been set free from the dominion of sin, set free from the power of sin. They are able to overcome, to resist temptation. They are willing to overcome and resist temptation and to do those things that please God. But in the verses that we will consider this evening, well, it almost seems as though the Apostle Paul is now contradicting himself. He will talk about how he is carnal and sold under sin. This doesn't seem to tally with what we have been considering before, when the Apostle spoke so much about being dead to sin and about being set at liberty by his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He will also say that in him dwells no good thing. Well, again, this may seem to us to be very alarming and contradictory to all that we have considered. He also says in verse 24 that he is a wretched man. Surely those are, well, confusing words. If we think about the joyous words that we have already considered about finding Christ and being justified by faith. But as we shall see, God willing, this evening, the Apostle Paul, well, before previously, he was speaking about the liberation of a believer at the point of conversion, that time when he believes in the Lord Jesus Christ and is justified. Now he is describing the life of a believer after that point, after he is saved. And after we are saved, well, it is a battle. It is a warfare for those who are truly converted, of course. For them it is a struggle. And it is a battle, as the Apostle Paul will say, essentially against oneself. Against oneself. The fiercest battles that we have to fight in the Christian life, well, it's against ourselves. A Christian man fighting against himself, a Christian woman fighting against herself. So these are the things that we will look at this evening. But just before we look at that, let's just remind ourselves of what we considered last week. We focused on our relationship to the law and how the law, when we were unregenerate people, provoked sin in us. We heard the published law of God, and well, it seemed to stoke the fires of our rebellion against God. Like a little child, you tell a little child to do something, you give them that commandment, that prohibition, not to touch something, they will want to touch it, specifically because you've told them not to. The commandment seems to provoke them to do that thing which is forbidden. And the Apostle Paul states that that is how we are, how we react in our unregenerate state to the law of God. And then the accusation was made in this chapter. Well, if the law provokes sin, If we hear the law and we are provoked to sin, is not the law the actual cause of sin? That's a question that some people were asking Paul. Are you saying the law is the cause of sin? And he says, no, God forbid. The law shows us the sin that is already there. It is like an x-ray or a scan that peers into the soul and exposes our corruption and all our sin. Remember, the Apostle Paul didn't realize he was a covetous man until the law exposed it to him. And this is how he describes our relationship with the law. And then we come to that verse 12, wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy and just and good. It is not evil in any way. But the Apostle Paul has said in verse 10, and the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. What the Lord did do was, well, it slayed him, as it were. He realized through the law that he had no hope of salvation with God through his own merits. He was dead to that idea. That would never work. That could never be his ladder to heaven. He was a guilty sinner, and he faced eternal death. The law passed a death sentence over him. But then that gives rise in verse 13 to another question. Was then that which is good made death unto me? Well, another question that people were asking, well, if the law only condemns us, if the law of God only passes a death sentence on people, how can we say it's holy and good and just? How can we say that that is a good thing if all the law does just condemns us? Well, then the Apostle Paul says, God forbid. Do not think ill of the law, but sin that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. Through the law, well, his sin was made exceeding sinful. He realized the full consequence of his sin, as I've just mentioned. I'll never make it to heaven that way. My sin is great. I never realized how great my sin was. I know that I can't possibly be accepted by God. So now I must find another way of salvation. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. The law is that schoolmaster that leads us to Christ, to the right way, to the sure and certain way of salvation. And so the law does have a good effect. It makes our sin appear so exceedingly sinful that we must seek salvation by grace. Lord, have mercy on me. That is what the law does. That's the good effect of the law. So by making sin appear exceeding sinful, the law leads us to Christ, and that's good. But verse 14, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. And this is where we begin to enter into these very important passages. We know that the law is spiritual. Well, yes, the law properly applied is spiritual. We mentioned last week that the law is not just about being outwardly good. People thought that if they didn't actually commit adultery, then they weren't guilty of adultery. But the law is spiritual. If you'd thought about it, if you'd lusted after a woman in your heart, the application of the law is spiritual. The same with murder. If you'd hated somebody in your heart, if you'd wished them out of your life, the law is spiritual. Properly applied, it is spiritual. And well, when the law... when the Apostle Paul says that the law slayed him, as it were, that he heard the law and he died, well, he didn't physically die. It was a spiritual death, as it were. It was an inward change. The law Well, it led to his inward change, that great fundamental change in him, the old person, as it were, dying, and the new being born again through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The law is spiritual. The law has worked a spiritual work in him, or has led to that spiritual change. We know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. I am carnal. Well, what does the apostle mean by that? Well, the apostle Paul spoke about his spiritual death, his inward change, but he is still carnal in the sense that outwardly he is still in his body, in his flesh. Yes, inwardly he has been changed. The law has slayed him. He's been born again. But he's still carnal. He's still alive in this body. And this is going to be the contrast. This is where the struggle is going to be between the inward man and the outward man, the carnal man. Yes, Christians are born again. But in this lifetime, we only see the spiritual change, as it were, the inward work within us. Outwardly, physically, we are exactly the same. We are in this body of flesh, and there will be a battle in this lifetime between the carnal man and the inner man. And he sets the scene here. The flesh. We're still in the old flesh, in the old body that we've always had, even in our unregenerate years. The flesh is the source of sensual passions, and the demands of the flesh stir up sinful desires within us. And so there is that great conflict in Christian people. There is that remnant of the old nature. Our body, our flesh, is a remnant of the old nature, and it wars against the new. So this is what the Apostle Paul is saying here, that we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal. He's speaking about his body, sold under sin. It's like his body, well, spiritually speaking, and we mentioned this a few weeks ago, spiritually speaking, his previous master was sin, was Satan. But when he was born again, he lives to please God. Inwardly he has changed. But outwardly it's like his body is still under the dominion of sin, as it were. His body still has that captivity, servitude as well. And so there are some things that cause him to have that struggle, the old fleshly habits. Now, of course, it's the case that when we are saved, those habits that we once had as unregenerate people, some of them disappear entirely. Once we become Christian, well, those perhaps the worst habits that we struggled with, they can go immediately. But there are always some that cling on to us. Those besetting sins, those habits that are so inveterate, so much a part of our personality, that they won't go lightly. And this will be the source of the struggle. The body is still so used to our old habits, well, these habits will die hard, as it were. So I am carnal, sold under sin. The body, as it were, is still under a form of slavery with all its weakness. But verse 15, for that which I do, I allow not. Well, let's just take this bit by bit, or else it will get confusing. For that which I do, he's speaking about those habits of the body that we have spoken about, those bad habits, that which I see myself doing that is unsavory, and a transgression of the law of God, I allow not. Allow, you could equally translate, I approve not, I do not approve them. So in other words, there were some things he would see himself doing, perhaps without even realizing, perhaps bad habits from his past life. He would still do them, but he didn't approve of them. He would see himself doing these things, and he would think, I shouldn't be doing that. It's not like the past. Before, when we're unsaved, we do things that are not right, and we immediately justify them. We think, oh, well, yes, well, this is just part of my character. Yes, I'm a gossip, but it's part of my character. Yes, I'm a bit aggressive, but it's part of my character. It's just me. You just have to take it like that. That's who I am. You would justify it in your unregenerate state. Now when you see those things, when you see those bad habits, they hurt you. You don't approve of them. That's what the Apostle Paul is saying. Now when I see those bad habits, and perhaps his covetousness, he doesn't approve of it anymore. It's a great change, but there's still a battle within him. For that which I do, I allow not. I see myself doing things, and well, it hurts me. I do not approve of them. For what I would do with my new regenerate nature, that do I not. It's difficult. There's a great battle. There are so many ways in which I want to please God, but there's a battle there. The flesh, the body in which I am in, it seeks to prevent me. It seeks to put up all the obstacles. I would do so much more. I desire, that's my desire as a regenerate person, to please God in everything. But that which I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. What I hate, that do I. The Apostle Paul has not mastered his own flesh, and he is lamenting this. He's changed inwardly, but there is that battle, and he's lamenting over these things. What I hate, that do I. Perhaps when we think of the Lord's words to his disciples, this will help us understand what we are considering this evening. Remember the Lord in the Garden of Gethsemane? He saw his disciples sleeping rather than taking watch. And he said to them, the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. There is that battle. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. What I would, that do I not, but what I hate, that do I. The Apostle Paul's words are in harmony with what the Lord himself spoke of when he was on earth. But then verse 16, if then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. If I do that, well, yes, there will be certain things that are unsavory and unwholesome that I do. But if I do not approve of them, well, then I do approve that the law is good. I consent unto the law that it is good. In other words, the more I battle against my sin, the harder I battle against my sin, the more I approve that the law is good. The more I'm on the law's side. And this is a sign of true regeneration. I am on the law's side. I'm on the Lord's side. And I will battle against my sin, no matter how unsuccessful I am, because I know that the law is good. And verse 17, now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Now we have to be careful with these words, because it seems, or it would appear, perhaps, that the Apostle Paul is relinquishing himself of responsibility for his sin, or for those things that he does that are not right. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. He appears, if we take it on surface value, to be blaming sin in him rather than himself. But this is not the way we are to read it rightly or correctly. The Apostle Paul knows that he is responsible for his sin. He later says, "Wretched man that I am." He takes full responsibility in verse 24. "I am responsible for my sin." But he is continuing to make this distinction between his new nature and his carnal nature. He's simply making that distinction. It is no more I that do it, I referring to his new regenerate nature, but sin, my old nature, that dwelleth in me. He's simply making that distinction. Essentially, in these verses, he's explaining why Christians sin. If we are converted, if we have a new nature, why do Christians still sin? So he's explaining this. There are two natures within us. That's all he's doing. He's not relinquishing responsibility. And again, only a regenerate person speaks like this. To have two natures, as it were, warring within. Before, when we were unsaved people, we only had one nature in us. One nature, the sin nature. But now we are regenerate people. We have this battle against the flesh. These words prove that he is a true child of God. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. And verse 18, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing." No good thing in his flesh. Well, this is again so opposite to the way of the world's thinking, particularly nowadays. The Apostle Paul says that in the flesh dwells no good thing. Nothing that the flesh invites you to do is good. But this world, this society, seems to make so much of the flesh. Indulge your flesh, because that's a good thing. If you don't indulge your flesh and your sensual pleasures and so on, well, you'll be so miserable inwardly. You may have emotional problems because you're not indulging yourself and you're not pampering yourself. But the teaching of the Word of God, in my flesh dwells no good thing. If I pamper myself, if I live a life of luxury and indulgence, that will be to the detriment of my soul. That will cause my soul damage. That's the teaching of the Word of God. I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. Well, the Apostle Paul, he longs to do that which is good, but his body puts up the obstacles, as we've already considered. And then in verses 19 and 20, well, these really are repetitions of what he has already said. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. It's the same sentiment. Why does he repeat himself? Well, perhaps because this is a repetitious act for Christians. This is what it will be like for Christians their whole life through. We will desire, of course, to be good Christians, to do the will of God, but we will always be pegged back by our own flesh. by our own bodies, by our old nature, as it were. There is no Christian who has swanned through the Christian life, always doing the right thing, never troubled by sin or by temptation. That person has never existed. A true Christian will always have the battle, repeatedly. I remember one old gentleman at the Metropolitan Tabernacle had got to a ripe old age, into his early 90s, and us relatively younger men, we would always go up to him and we'd always say to him, "Does it get any easier? The battle against sin. Surely it must get easier when you get to your 70s, 80s, 90s. For us young men, it's very hard. Does it get any easier?" "No," he would say, without any hesitation at all. A resounding no. This is going to be our lot for the rest of our lives. The battle within, against the flesh. Perhaps, I'm just speculating, perhaps that's why he repeats it, to make sure we understand that this is a battle that we have to fight to the very end. And well, we think even of the Lord Jesus Christ. He, of course, was without sin. Of course, the perfectly righteous Son of God. But remember that even he had to fight against the flesh. Remember the Garden of Gethsemane again, how his humanity recoiled from the prospect of going to the cross. Even the eternal Son of God, the only begotten of the Father, there was that conflict. And Christ was without sin. We remember well again the temptation of Christ, Satan meeting him in the wilderness and urging him to turn those stones into bread. Why did he do that? Because he knew there would be a conflict. The flesh desiring to take and eat. So this is our lot as Christians. And this is why the Apostle Paul speaks of these things. And we must take these things on board and seek the Lord's help. So verse 20, "Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me." And verse 21, "I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man." Again, there's the contrast. The inward man delights in the law of God, as we've mentioned many times. But verse 23, "I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members." Well, it's almost as though the Apostle Paul, he's saying, he's declaring and crying out loud, it's as though I'm being held captive in my own body. I have this wonderful, regenerate soul, this new nature, but oh, I lament because I'm being held captive in this flesh that wants to do the things that the old Paul, or Saul of Tarsus rather, wanted to do. It's like I'm being held captive, sold under sin, and that's the state of every true believer. And then we have verse 24, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" Wretched man that I am. Note the apostle's grief over his sin. Again, no Christian person ought to be happy or to be resigned to their besetting sins. We all have besetting sins. We ought never to cease fighting against them. We never should say to ourselves, as I mentioned earlier, "This is just the way I am." When we know that it offends God, when we know that it injures ourselves, when we know that it grieves other people, well, we ought never to cease fighting against that. Look how the Apostle Paul, he didn't say, oh, it's just the way I am. Yes, I know I have some bad points, but it's just the way I am, like it or lump it. He says, wretched man that I am, wretched man. And these verses very decidedly point out to us that he never stopped fighting against his sin. It was a daily thing with him. He never stopped. Wretched man that I am, his grief over his state. Dear friends, if there are things in you that you know are wrong, grieve over it and keep fighting against it. We ought to learn from the apostle because he doesn't excuse himself. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And we have to read this with the first part of verse 25. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. He cries out to be delivered from the body of this death. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ is his deliverer. Christ has delivered him through his conversion, through his new birth, through that inward change. Well, we have the down payment, as it were. We know that ultimately even our bodies will be delivered, will be redeemed. At the very end of time, we are raised from the dead, we are given new bodies, then we will be most certainly delivered from this body of death, because Christ died, because Christ rose again. Then that will be the time when our minds and our bodies will be in perfect harmony, living in perfect peace in that new heaven and that new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. And when we think about these things, well, it's almost as though the Apostle Paul, I see it when I read these verses, the Apostle Paul is calling out for the Lord Jesus Christ to come quickly. It's included in this. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Come quickly. Hasten that time, that great and coming day when Christ shall come. And it shall be the end of all things. This is why we long for the Lord Jesus Christ to come again. We often think of it in terms of when the Lord Jesus Christ comes, all the sin that we see in this world will be over. Yes, that's true, that's right, and that's good. The sin of the world, this dark present age, will be gone. And we cry out to God for that. But also we cry out to the Lord to come quickly so that the sin in ourselves will be over, so that we will stop sinning against God. That battle within us will be over. Come quickly, not just because I know how bad the world is, but because I know how bad I am. Come quickly, O Lord, and bring in that time when I will be delivered from the body of this death. Well, these things are wonderful. This is the battle we all have. And read into that first verse of chapter 8. I read verse 25 and then into chapter 8. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. But he doesn't settle for that. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The practical application really of these verses, seeing that we have this battle and that it will be a lifelong battle, what should we do about it? Well, we are instructed to walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The Apostle Paul would exhort constantly throughout the New Testament. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 27, you don't need to turn to it, but I just read out some verses. The apostle saying, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a cast away. The apostle Paul saying that he brings his body under subjection. He walks in the Spirit. Colossians 3 and verse 5, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Mortify, put to death the flesh and the fleshly desires. The Lord Jesus Christ as well, of course, we remember his words, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Note that himself, the battle is with ourselves, and take up his cross daily and follow me. If we take that attitude, if we obey the Lord, well then there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. We who walk not after the flesh, we who are anguished over our sin, we who keep battling right to the very end, then there will be no condemnation. Then we will be received into eternal glory and be eternally blessed. Well, I will end there, but may the Lord bless these verses to us. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, our gracious God and our loving Father in heaven, O Lord, we thank thee for the teaching of thy word, and yet, Lord, we know that these verses are such a challenge to us. Lord, we know our bad points, we know our besetting sins, O Lord. They are not hidden to us. They are so very clear to us and to others. And Lord, we know that at times we have just let them have full reign over us. And O Lord, we know that this is so wrong. Lord, help us to continue fighting against our sins, no matter how fierce the temptation is, no matter how hopeless we may feel, no matter how wretched we may see ourselves, O Lord, we know that that great apostle, godly as he was, had the same struggles. O dear Lord, bless us that we may continue to battle against the flesh for all that we are worth. O Lord, we ask all these things in our Saviour's name and for his sake. Amen.